My dear friends, today is the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains, and he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child, and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. He that is on the housetop, let him not go down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. These words are taken from the Gospel of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, in the Gospel today, we hear our Lord foretelling the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem. Our Lord was giving one last warning to the Jewish people of the punishment which awaited them. It was these same people who would, in just a few days, be clamoring for his blood and demanding that Pilate crucify him. Speaking of what would befall the chosen people, Our Lord said, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captives into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles." Later in the evening, when the apostles were alone with our Lord, they asked him when these things would come to pass, that is, when the city would be destroyed. And they asked what signs would indicate that the time was at hand. Christ did not directly answer the first question. He did not give the day or the hour when Jerusalem would be destroyed. But the second question he did answer. Our Lord foretold two specific events which would occur before the destruction of Jerusalem, and which, of course, did indeed come to pass. He said, "When you shall see Jerusalem compassed about with an army, then know that the desolation thereof is at hand." This was the first sign, the surrounding of the city by an army, to which our Lord referred. And this sign came in 66 AD, about 4 years before the actual destruction of Jerusalem. In the year 66, a Roman army under Chastius Gallus encircled the city. At that time, however, they didn't succeed in penetrating the walls. Eventually, the Romans withdrew, and this event is known as the first siege of Jerusalem. The second event our Lord foretold concerns the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Our Lord said, "When therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then you will know that the time is at hand." And what is the abomination of desolation? According to scripture scholars, this abomination refers to the profanation of the temple itself, which occurred approximately 2 years before the city was destroyed. A group of robbers and common criminals, posing as religious zealots, seized control of the temple and actually turned it into a fortress, holding it against the rest of the city. This band of criminals was composed of Jews, but in order to increase their numbers, they hired a group of pagan mercenaries to help them. A certain author speaking of this event, he says, "The criminals had not long held the temple when they called to their aid a heathen people who not only profaned the temple by their unholy presence, but even effected a horrible massacre within it, so that the outer courts streamed with blood. Thus, the most sacred spot of the holy city was profaned by the enemies of God's people as a foreshadowing of worse punishment yet to come." A year later, the Roman general Titus encircled the city with an army in order to punish the rebellious Jews. For months, he carried on the siege, and the historian Josephus, who witnessed the whole terrible event, this historian says, "It appears to me that the misfortunes of all men from the beginning of the world, if compared to the misfortunes of the Jews, were not so great as these." Famine in the city became so great that poor, hungry Jews would sneak out of the city at night in a desperate search for food. Those who fell into the hands of the Roman soldiers were scourged, tortured, and crucified before the very walls of the city in order to terrify the remaining people. And Josephus says that as many as 500 Jews were crucified every night. At last, so many had been put to death that there remained no more room for crosses. As the famine grew worse, the surviving inhabitants were reduced to starvation. Many went mad with hunger, and some even fell into the revolting practice of cannibalism in their desperation for food. Finally, the city was overrun by the Romans, who leveled it so completely that there was not left one stone upon a stone in the whole city and temple, which had once been the pride of the Holy Land. All in all, over 1 million Jews lost their lives, and 100,000 more were taken into captivity to work as slaves in the city of Rome. This was the fate which befell the Jewish people, who had rejected their Messiah and who put their Savior to death. My dear faithful, the warning of our Lord in the gospel today is twofold. It was a warning to his chosen people whom he loved dearly. It is also a warning to Catholics, especially those living today. The dangers which threatened the city of Jerusalem threatened the soul of each one of us. We are surrounded on all sides by materialism and worldliness, which besiege our souls like an army. And thus our Lord warns us to flee from the spirit of the world, that is, to detach ourselves from anything which might cause us to lose our souls. You know, very often spiritual writers speak of attachment and detachment. But what do they mean? What do they mean when they say that we must not be attached to material things? By attachment, they mean an unreasonable desire for some created thing. A desire is unreasonable if it would lead us into sin or keep us from loving and serving God as we should. If we associate with some person, go to a particular place, or use some object, and doing so means that we will sin, then our attachment to that person, place, or thing is unreasonable. It is not reasonable to cling to the creature rather than to the Creator. This is what our Lord illustrated in the gospel by giving an example of a man and his coat. He said, "He that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat." In other words, how foolish it would be for a man who had safely escaped the city of Jerusalem to return to it in the middle of the siege just to get his coat. Not that there was something wrong with the coat, but to risk one's life to save it would be unreasonable. And yet, how often do people, even good Catholics, endanger the life of sanctifying grace in their souls in order to enjoy some passing pleasure? Such people, though they profess to love God, they love some created thing more. This is what our Lord condemned on one occasion when he said that he that loves mother or father more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Of course, it's a good thing to love our family and our friends, but our Lord was pointing out that we must love created things, even those things which are good in themselves, in relation to God, and insofar as they will help us to attain our last end, which is salvation. But how many people, sad to say, have given up the practice of their faith for the sake of a friendship or relationship, or due to pressure from family members? My dear faithful, consider the message of our Lord and consider the fate of the Jews who did not heed his warning. Break your inordinate attachments and shun those persons, places, or things which can and will lead you into sin, just as you would shun the plague. Stand firm in your love for God and in your faith. Desire heaven above all things. Don't think that you will bring peace to your family by neglecting to attend Mass or by being lax in raising your children in the Catholic faith. Don't think that you will get along better with your friends by breaking the laws of God and the Church, by eating meat on Friday, for example, or attending immoral entertainments with your friends. By compromising the faith, one endangers not only his own salvation, but the salvation of those he might have saved by his good example. Everything we do affects other souls. My dear faithful, today is the last Sunday of the church year, and next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, marks the beginning of a new year. Resolve to begin this new year with your eternal salvation as your chief concern. It is the most important thing. It is the only thing that really matters in this life and in the next. Resolve to love God above all else and pray every day to Our Lady for the grace to do so. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.